Hi, it's DGAF. And this is season 4 of Sessions. Let's get it this year. Let's save the princess, right?
Well, this should be interesting, hopefully. Before we get into it, I'm going to do a real-time update. It's 11:43 p.m. for me right now. Not in the story. We'll get to the story in a second. But right now, it's Monday, November 29th, 11:43 p.m. I'm in Las Vegas, and this will drop in a little over 2 hours. And I was at the Las Vegas airport at 4 p.m., and I left the Las Vegas airport at 9 p.m. And the 5 hours in between I spent at the gate and on a plane mostly that didn't take off because there's too much fog in San Diego. And I'd rather they didn't fly if they can't see. But it was quite the experience being on the plane and not going anywhere for a very long time. It wasn't scary, at least. If you listen to this podcast a lot, you know I used to have a fear of flying. I've kind of gotten over it. I still feel like we're going to crash every time. At least I didn't feel like we were going to crash today while we taxied to the runway and back. We taxied out to the runway. We chilled for maybe an hour, hour and a half. Went back to the gate, chilled there for another hour, hour and a half. And then the dude sitting next to me said, it looks like the fog's not going to burn off until late morning. And with that, I grabbed my suitcase out of the overhead compartment, my backpack, and I said, thanks for that information. Peace. Even if they are going to fly this thing eventually tonight, I'm going to be tripping balls, right? Thinking we're going to crash. So, yeah, that's where we're at. I planned on recording this when I got to San Diego, which was supposed to be around 7 p.m. or something. But that's just the way it is. And I don't know. I just felt like you guys should know that. And we'll get into the story now. Week 46 of 50. Back in L.A. Bonus session plus lead out part 1. So it's around 11 p.m. on Wednesday, November 17th in the story. And something was going on where I'm recording, but that's okay. Okay, so it's around 11 p.m. on Wednesday, November 17th, in the story. I just did commentary for 5 hours for Hustler Casino Live, and then I had a few beers upstairs at the Hustler with some of the members of DGAF community celebrating Dr. David Neymark's birthday, and then also some members of Hustler Casino Live, some players, some dealers, some floor people, or the floor person, and Ryan Feldman, the owner. And I already talked about that in the lead up. Well, I also talked about how I had planned to eat dinner before playing poker on this night, but there was a lot going on upstairs at the Hustler. From the moment I got up there, I was engaged in conversation, and then people seemed a little antsy to start playing before I got a chance to go downstairs and order food. So I just said, fuck it. All these people came here to start a game. I appreciate that. Let's go start a game. 5, 5, 10, 300 to 1500, aka the Hustler game. And just prior to being in the booth for 5 hours and then going upstairs, I worked all day on my podcast, the one you're listening to now, at my hotel room, the DoubleTree in Torrance. So to go into this session, I am tired as hell. I'm also spun out from looking at two different monitors and interacting with the chat and following the action and whatever else for 5 hours. And I'm a little buzzed because I haven't eaten anything and I had a few beers and I'm hungry. So this is my first cash session after my 4-day main event run. So Tommy Angelo certainly would not approve, and he would be right not to. This is not how you should go into any poker session. But it is just the story of how I went into this bonus session for this week. As we wind down this really exhausting year. And I'm just going to tell it how it is. And be ready. I will just say in advance, this is the worst I can remember playing ever. I'm sure a few times I've been blacked out and played worse, but this is the worst I've ever played not blacked out. And it's just what it is. Too exhausted, been working way too much, having no fun really, and just totally spent and didn't even eat, and just it's just the worst way to go into a session. But you're gonna hear about it now, so hopefully it'll at least be funny, or some of you can relate to it or something. Either way, there'll be another drop Thursday, and there's four a week, and there's just so many that, you know, if one doesn't make you super happy or warm inside, it's okay. There'll be another one soon. All right, let's get into the bonus session after a sip of Coke Zero. So it's mostly people who support my content, my third rise in this game. But there are some other people that have joined, just random people that were at the Hustler. Maybe they heard me say where we're going to be playing when I was commentating that night. And so our game is a mix of patrons and just Hustler folk, just regs or whatever you want to call it. And then some of the people that were upstairs are playing in the smaller games. But so that's the mix of our game. And in a game like this, I need to play good hands. And I didn't get dealt any, so I folded for an Orbit, also known as a Nitlap. And then I got to my next big blind, and everyone limped. And I just checked. I had 7-5 offsuit, and I flopped. And that's okay, obviously. You're not going to hit every flop that you see. But there's just something about being in the situation I'm in and having played as long as I have, and having been on the wrong side of the variance equator for 5 years now, it just makes you so impatient. Of course, you could flop something good with 7-5 offsuit in a multi-way limper, and you want to, but you don't. That's okay. So I folded, and then it led right into my worst play, and this is pretty atrocious, but. Many of the hands you're going to hear about in the next 50 minutes or so are going to be atrocious. And I'm not going to say otherwise. But I just was in no... I needed to play on this night for several reasons. I'm trying to build games at the Hustler. They sponsor me. And I think I can do that. And I need to put in sessions in so I can have content. And my schedule just needs to change, and it will soon, but it hasn't yet. So, anyways, let's talk about this worst play. So I finally, I guess my first big blind someone raised, and I folded. Well, the second one, they all limped, had 7-5 offsuit, and you already heard what happened. Now, I am the middle blind. So the previous hand, I was the $10. It's 5-5-10. Now I'm the 5, the middle 5. And people limp again, and something about it, I'm too impatient. I have queen 6 offsuit and I make it 65. If I go too big, everyone in the hand will know I have a horrible hand, because I've said in this podcast a million times, in red chip games, when I have a horrible hand and I want to win, I make it a lot. And if I have a good hand, I make it less. Well, I went to 65 hoping that I could just take down the limps, and I got 2 calls. So it's just bad. It just was... You just take your medicine. Just throw Redbird in there. Actually, they're yellow chips in LA, but throw a yellow bird in there or fold, and But I made it 65 and got 2 calls, and that's horrible. And it came Jack 7-6, and I checked, and David, the birthday boy, bet, and it seemed like he had something good, and so I folded, and I'm already stuck because I'm impatient, and. That's okay. I also lost $200 in the main event on this night. I believe this was the night the whole thing was decided. Yeah, it was. I bet on the British kid, and he failed. Fucking Brits. I don't know. I didn't really watch much of the main event. I just saw this kid get it all in with Jack 9 suited against Queens and Ace Jack and win, and I thought, this seems like a champion. And I bet $200 on him at whatever odds it was, and he failed me. Figures. Okay. So I'm thinking about that, though. That's how tight money is. I'm thinking, well, I'm stuck $80 or whatever right now because I just punted off a little with Queen 6 offsuit for no good reason, with no real plan, and there wasn't even fold equity. It was just dumb. Yes, I had folded for a while, but doesn't matter. Everyone there knows who I am, and it's just horrible. And they all do well in life. The people who support my content, they do well in life, and they all have so much heart. That's the kind of people they are. So when you have so much heart, you're obviously not going to fold. You're not going to overfold. And, yeah. So now I get pocket aces. And Eddie calls. And who's Eddie? I just named this guy Eddie. He's not a patron. Back when I did fantasy baseball way back in the day, there was a closer for the Twins. They would come in and get a save just about every day. And they called him every day Eddie Guardado, I think. And this guy is playing every hand, so call him every hand Eddie. So I open aces, he calls, and then this young Armenian kid, not a patron, but he either listens to the podcast or had watched the commentary. I don't recall which one, but he had introduced himself at the beginning of the game. Just a really nice young Armenian kid, not Alex Banana. You'll hear about him shortly. Just another nice young Armenian kid. Goes to 110, so I open for 30, every hand Eddie calls, I got aces, this kid goes to 110, he's out of position, I go to 230 in position, we only have 900 to start the hand. Again, I think it would be a crime for me to not 4-bet here, I have to 4-bet, I go to a small size because we only have 900 to start, don't need to go that big. Well, you know, if he calls, I'm only going to have barely over pot behind. And anyways, every day or every hand Eddie folded and the Armenian kid called. And so that's nice. I'm in position with aces and we got $500 in the middle and I have about 670 left. And it comes queen 10x and he checks and I bet 120, like a quarter of the pot, and he snap folds. So it's easy when you get in these situations like, well, God, what if he just had king, queen, or, you know, you want the money to go in, and it doesn't, and you're like, well, should I be checking here? No, I think I played this hand fine, and I won some money, so it's not the end of the world, but it's not like it used to be when you got 3-bet, when you had aces, you knew you were pretty much getting all the money in, unless an ace came on the flop. So, anyways, I'm winning, and that's nice, and then I get ace, queen of hearts. And I open, and Eddie, that's every hand Eddie calls, and Zogs calls, another person with an enlarged heart. The people that support my content, they all crush life, or mostly all crush life. Some of them will crush life in the future, but they all have big hearts, and yeah. So every hand Eddie and Zogs are in there. I have ace, queen of hearts. It comes 10-5 deuce, nary a heart. I check, Eddie bets, and Zogs calls, and I fold. Okay, so what? I missed a flop. I just had aces, and I won, you know, a little over $200. I won about $260 in that hand. Okay, now I have pocket queens. And Moose opens. And you know Moose. Same thing. Longtime patron. Even though he's a younger guy, he's like mid-20s. And he's made many appearances in this podcast. He opens and people call. And I 3-bet with queens. And I don't do anything outrageous. And they all fold. And so you're just... when you're kind of in a rut in poker, every time you 3-bet a good hand, they all fold. Every time you 3-bet a bad hand, they're in there. Every time you 3-bet a medium hand, they 4-bet. It's just the rut I've been in. I've been on a... awful run. I was on an awful run leading up to the main event. And then I had one day of running really hot, day two. And most of you probably already heard that. And then this is the first session back. And I don't know. I guess I'm winning. That's the cool thing. I tried to ISO someone, I don't remember who, with ace, deuce of spades. And, everyone behind me called. And I flopped. So I folded. And you know who won the pot? Alex Banana. He made two pair with 8-6 suited. He was in the small blind. So he got in there with 8-6 in the small blind. And that's another thing about my supporters. They love to flat in the small blind because they know that's where all the money is. They're smart. And nice hand, Alex Banana. Okay, now you're going to hear one of the worst hands I've ever played in my life. Dunder, just another young dude that likes his podcast and likes the community and is very generous and very much about the group. And anytime he shows up to something, everyone smiles. And that's pretty much true for everyone that's active in the community that I'm building. But and this guy's very successful and he has tons of heart and he opens. And I'm next to act with pocket fours and he's early. And I figure I'll just call and set off the domino effect. Just call and bring everyone else in and, maybe flop a set. And that's what happens. I call, everyone else comes in. Not the set part, but the other stuff. I called and everyone else came in. The flop came 7-6-6. And Dunder bet and I called. He bet small. I called here. With people behind, just bad, just really fucking bad. The preflop is logical. I don't want to be three betting fours, with these stacks. Like if we're super deep, I know you're not supposed to be overvaluing little pairs super deep. I think of it differently. I think you can win the pot so many times without making the best hand that I would be more inclined to three bet with fours. But anyways, we're not super deep at all. And preflop, yeah, just call and set off the domino effect, of course. 7-6-6, he c-bets. He doesn't have to have you beat, but there's people behind you. Just fucking fold, man, and I flat. No, it's just bad. There's no other word to describe it. It's just fucking bad. And Moose calls behind me as well, and he doesn't seem strong. And the turn's a 7. And now Dunder checks. So it's 7-7-6-6. So I have 7s and 6s with a 4 high kicker. Not a great hand. But I figure I called the flop. And so I can rep a 7 or a 6 fairly easily here. And I bet an amount that I would bet with either of those if I had 7s full or 6 full. Just to get paid, just a small amount. And Moose folded and Dunder called. 7-6-6-7. I'm almost playing the board. And the river comes a queen, so now I am playing the board. And he checks, and now I bet big, like I always would, with a full house against the early position preflop raiser. And Dunder thinks and calls. And I say, I play the board. And he turns over 2 8s. So, what was this? This was me being fucking impatient again. It's wanting to come up in the world so fucking bad, just wanting to flop a set and you don't, so then you just start playing poorly. If you are running hot and things are going your way, you snap fold this flop 7-6-6 with 2 4s with people behind. You snap fold. I didn't, and it led me to a spot where, okay, I don't think Moose has anything behind me. I think he's probably calling with some sort of draw or overs or something, and I think Dunder, he doesn't have a boat here, so he's going to be in bluff catcher mode. And then it led me to this. At least my turn bet made sense and my river bet made sense, but it doesn't make sense. Don't bluff people who listen to your podcast and you tell them you bluff all the time. And I do, and it's a pretty easy call for him with 8s, actually. He won a nice pot, and now I'm on full tilt, just like that. Boom. I'm tilted. Not at anything other than how I'm playing in my situation, and I'm stuck. I've had some nice hands. I had aces and I got 3-bet. I pocket queens and I 3-bet. And I said 2 big pairs, 1 small pair, and I'm stuck because I'm just impatient. And this is, I'm fine now. I mean, I'm exhausted. I just spent a lot of time at the airport on an airplane that it was the least scary airplane ride I've ever had. we buckled up. Well, they, you know, they showed us how to buckle our seatbelts, which is always nice. And we went out, you know, we taxied out to the runway, and then we chilled out there. They said there's going to be a 45-minute delay, and then they said it'll be an hour. And then we drove back to the gate. So none of that was really scary. It was the least scary airplane ride I've ever been on. And then we just sat at the gate for a while, and then I couldn't take it anymore, and I just got off the plane. And anyways, so I might sound exhausted because I am. I've had another very busy week, and that's the way it goes. But I do have a lot of optimism right now because I think we'll probably save the princess. We'll hit 2022 points this year. And if so, there'll be another season of sessions, and I won't be telling my life story, and I'll be playing more poker, and I'll be working out and doing the stuff you need to do to play well. Well, we're not there yet. So bear with me. Listen to this horrible play and me being in a really bad place, just tilted out of my mind, hungry, haven't eaten, and just, yeah. So the next hand of note, I call a raise with Jack 10. I'm in position three ways. I live in position. I always have. Sometimes when I'm playing bad, the one thing is I'm just playing out of position. I value position a ton, more than anyone I know. And, I'm in position three ways, Jack 10. It's a good hand. It comes Queen 6 deuce, and the first person bets, and the other guy calls, and I fold. And I wrote, just bust me. Fuck. And so that's me being tilted, entitled, acting entitled, being a baby, and acting like defense from the movie Falling Down. And I'm that way a lot, and I'm not proud of it. And I don't really believe in pride or shame. I just believe people are the way they are. And I never was like this. I just have been. The end of this year, I've just been too burned out. And I know it. And so what? Just keep riding along. We'll see what happens. You know, sometimes you just got to get through that. And that's what I'm trying to do. Get through this year. And I'm fine now. But at the table, I wasn't fine. I wrote, I only want heads up. And I wish I could play people heads up. It just doesn't seem to be a thing anymore. The casinos have kind of caught on to, well, we're not making any rake if you guys are just paying like jack shit, two people playing jack shit, and I have a dealer. And people don't really like to play it. And you got to play time collection, of course. And there just aren't that many time collection games these days. Poker's shrunk. I do believe I don't know if we're in a boom right now, but there's a revival. And I think it has a lot to do with the vloggers. And, you know, other content creators like myself, podcasters, but mostly the vloggers and the streams, the poker streams. And so, I don't know, I'm kind of rambling tonight, but that's what I do, especially when it's after midnight and I spent 5 hours at the airport. Well, some of it was on the airplane. And anyways, I don't know. I'm just being a baby right now. I only want heads up because heads up, I actually don't tilt. I mean, I have in the past, if things were really bad in my life or I ran really poorly, but I don't really tilt heads up because you get such volume. Whereas full ring, you better run hot. You're not getting volume unless you're there for a long time, which I don't have. Okay, so I have to rebuy and I have no voice. And I don't mean like from podcasting in the morning and commentating at night, my voice is gone. I mean, I just can't talk. I have all these fucking incredible people at the table who have been so supportive to me. I don't owe them anything. I provide the content in the community. I give everything I have. But it still sucks to not be able to be yourself. And I couldn't talk. I just miserable in my own head. I'm sure all of you have been there before. And I just start folding everything. And then I open the button. Finally, with 7-6, and Moose defends. And it comes ace, king, queen, and he checks, and I check back. And it turns a king, and he checks, and I bet small, and he folds 5-3. So neither of us had anything. It was a nothing pot, and at least I won one. And then fold for a while again, and then Dunder is on my right, and he opens, and I don't know. So this was maybe one of my better plays. It's a little sketchy. But I just had a good read. I just had a good read that His open was weak this time, and so I 3-bet big with king 4 offsuit, and it got through. And I showed the 4 because I want to run it up. I want to start making hands getting paid. And we're showing one card. It's a very friendly game, this hustler game that I'm building, the 5-5-10, no limit, 300, 1500 cap. It protects people who are having a good day. It keeps the game going long term. And show one card is a good way to do it. Bomb pots every new dealer. Not too often, just every new dealer is fine. And yeah, show one card. And what I'm going to work on with Sean Yaple, I'm going up there to LA again soon, is I'm going to work on having a bucket of beers special for this game. I don't know. We'll see if I can get that done, where you can get like beers for cheap if you play this game. Because, I don't know, it's good for the game. All right, so I fold for a while, and then I have queen 5 offsuit. Someone raises, everyone calls. I'm the 10, which is the big blind, 5-5-10, and I defend. You know, like 20 more with queen 5 offsuit. Who gives a shit? A million people in there. It comes jack 10-6. We all check, okay? And then the turn is an 8. And now Moose bets, doesn't seem strong. Zog's calls quickly, doesn't seem strong. And I check raise here with queen 5 on jack 10, 6, 8. And they both fold. It was a good play, I think. Not just because it worked, but because it was at least calculated. Whereas the first squeeze with queen 6 offsuit was just the worst thing I've ever done. And it was just so bad. It was just horrible. Well, this was good. I'm the one, I have a queen. You know, so I'm blocking some stuff, and I could get there if I have to. And I have leverage with Moose bet, someone call, I raise. It's going to be really tough for Moose to continue light. And I thought he was light, and so he's going to have to fold with Zog's behind. And then Zog's, it's going to say, well, that looks strong. He check raised into two people. That old thing. So, all right. I open. It's kind of a weird hand here. The young guy, the young Armenian kid, had a lot of heart. I knew that right away. I didn't know what kind of poker player he was, if he's a pro or if he's just a recreational dude. Who knows? It's all blurry these days, and it doesn't really matter. I just didn't know much about his game, obviously, since I just met him when we all sat down. But I have ace 10 of diamonds. I open, and he calls, and someone else calls. And it comes ace 5-3 with two spades. And I bet, and just the young Armenian kid, not Alex Banana, but the other one, who's not a patron, so he doesn't have a screen name. He calls. And it seems like he's pretty strong, but I don't really know. I'm not on my game. I'm exhausted. The turn's a queen. Ace 5-3, two spades. The turn's a queen. It's not a spade. And I bet, and he check raises big. And I fold. I'm betting to fold here. And he shows the jack of spades. So I don't know what he had. I think he had a flush draw. The ace of spades was not out there, so maybe he had ace jack of spades and just had me totally murdered. And it was a good fold. Maybe he had king jack of spades or jack ten of spades. That would suck if I fold the best hand. But you know, he went for the big raise and I folded. And I don't know. I'm definitely not playing my A game. I'm not even playing my B game. And I'm really not even playing my C game. And that's not, you know, I guess you don't hear that many podcasts about. Check this out. On this night, I played my D minus game. I hope you enjoy it. Well, that's what I'm basically doing tonight. It's okay. It's setting up next year when I play, you know, better in bigger games and whatnot. All right, I open with ace, deuce of diamonds. And I get two calls. Every hand, Eddie's in there, and Alex Banana's in there. And the Alex Banana won all the money last time we were here. The flop comes jack 8 deuce, and there's a diamond out there. I check, every hand Eddie checks, and Alex Banana bets. And I don't know what to make of his bet, but I have bottom pair, and backdoor flush, nut flush draw, and I don't know, he could, you know, kind of the best hand. I call, and every hand Eddie calls, and every hand Eddie is clearly drawing by the way he calls. Just quick, no thought, you know, that old thing. The turn is an X, like maybe it's a 4. Offsuit 4, does not give me a flush draw. I check, and every hand Eddie checks, and Garin, or that's Alex Banana's real name is Garin, Balak Giolu. Anyways, we'll call him Alex. He bets again, and I call again. Why? Because he's in position, and he could be betting a draw twice. And I know I have the other guy beat, and he's going to call. And also because I'm not playing well. It's a fold no matter what here, and I called again with bottom pair because a lot of people with a good hand will check in Alex Banana's spot. And the river is an 8, pairs the board. I check. Every hand, Eddie checks. And Alex Banana just turns over 2 10s. He bet that twice, and he valued town both of us. And I knew, you know, Eddie didn't have anything. And I don't know. I'm thinking, like, what's going on? Like, A, what is Alex Banana's line all about with 10s there, 3-way, betting the turn? It's just so rare. And B, like, why am I playing so poorly? And I'm just exhausted. And because it's all a sim, I swear to you, at this moment when I'm thinking what's going on, this song came on the speakers at the Hustler in Los Angeles. I shit you not. I'm saying, what's he doing with pocket tens playing like that? Over flatting pre. He would normally 3-bet that. Betting on jack high twice 3-way. And why am I calling with bottom pair? What the fuck? No joke, this song came on. In this exact moment. And if you don't know this song, you're probably young. I'm not. This is me on this night. Right after Alex Banana fucking owns my soul with 210. No joke. So that song came on, and I put it in my notes. And I didn't really... I knew I was just playing so awful. I'm not adjusting to my opponents. And one big mistake I'm sure a lot of people make, but probably my biggest leak is reading players. If I don't have live reads on them... Sometimes I do. Often I do. Especially when we're not wearing masks, I do. But we're wearing masks on this night. And I heard there's a new variant coming along that might be pretty badass called Omicron. So who knows how long we'll be wearing masks. But when I don't have a good live tell in a hand, well, then I just hand read. And a mistake is thinking... Well, I'd be repping very narrow here to when someone opens and gets called and then it comes jack eight deuce. And there were two spades on the flop and I bet the flop, if I somehow flat it with tens and I don't, and I bet the flop here with tens, and two people called, I probably wouldn't bet the turn again. But that doesn't matter. That doesn't mean Alex Banana won't. And I just, I make that mistake where I think like this person's thinking how I would be thinking with a hand, with value hands and with semi-bluffs. They'd be betting the turn more often with draws than they would with made hands. And that's how I talked myself into calling with bottom pair. It was atrocious, but I don't know. So then I decided to get weird. And I said, the big mistake of thinking... My opponent is thinking like I'm thinking. And then I put, or that he's thinking at all. And I was thinking, then that made me think about the term thinking player. So again, if you've been around poker for a long time, I don't know if they still do it because I don't interact in forums or whatever. But they used to describe a player as a thinking player, and it was a pretty high compliment. Like that guy's a thinking player. And it's just so funny to think about. That's a compliment that someone's thinking. I don't know. I think it's just amazing. That was just a commonly accepted way to describe someone. Oh, he's a thinking player. Oh, wow. Better fucking hope he leaves soon. And I'm not saying that Alex Banana doesn't think. Of course he does. All humans do. I'm just saying in the old days, he might not be described as a thinking player. No, I'm just busting his balls, and I was doing it in my phone to make myself feel better, and he won the pot, and he owed me, and good for him. But I don't know if they would describe him as a thinking player. It's okay. He's an awesome dude, and he's a very smart dude. I just don't know if they would describe him as a thinking poker player. Okay, let's move on. I straddle, so now it's 5, 5, 10, 20, and this is what happens. The game gets bigger every time, and it's okay. And someone opens, Alex Banana opens, and someone calls, and I defend the open with 9-5 offsuit. This isn't me thinking this is a defend, it's me saying, fuck it, I'm getting in here. I don't care anymore, I can't take it anymore. And what happens here? Sorry about the, I am in Las Vegas recording, and I have some bodyguard dogs. Is that what you call them? Yeah, guard dogs, not bodyguard. Guard, you heard them. There must have been an intruder or potential intruder, or just maybe it was a fan. There's lots of fans trying to bust in when I'm recording, and that's why I have to have guard dogs. And you just probably heard one of them. And anyways, so I defend with 9-5 offsuit because I'm stone tilted. Not now, but on this night, yeah. And I'm kind of like giving up, and you know, people do it, but I'm gambling. It's just such a shit hand though, isn't it? Told you this is the worst I've ever played in my life. Not blacked out. It's true. But, you know, good play or bad play gets rewarded. Sometimes flop comes 9-9-8 and, I check and Alex Banana checks and the other player is David and he checks 9-9-8 and it turns to Jack. Okay, I wish one of these guys would bet. I check, Alex Banana checks, and David checks. Great. And the river is a jack. So I have a boat. I had called with 9-5 offsuit, out of position three ways. I defended my straddle because I didn't care. And it's, you know, it's not meant to be judged or it's just meant to be accepted as the story on this night. And then it came jack-jack. So I'm nines full of jacks. And I decide that no one has a jack. So I'm going to overbet here pretty big because I know what my image looks like. And Alex Banana calls and David folds. And I slow roll Alex Banana. And I do it with love. Hopefully he knows that. I throw a five over and he showed his ace high. And then I showed a nine. And it's just, I would do that. I slow roll the people you love. You got to. Unless it's someone that you're intimate with, that might be foolish. But if it's not someone, me and Alex Banana, we're not intimate. So I love him. I'm going to slow roll him when I can. And he won all the money the time before. It all goes into the equation. And yeah, I'm playing awful. And let's keep hearing about the session. Now, speaking of playing awful, well, no, let me just tell this next hand in history. Dunder on my right, cold four bets, half his stack, and then it gets through, and he shows a six. So he would have had to put the rest of his stack in, and he was deep because I punted it off to him, and I love it. And I said, I love these farm animals. So I do love to refer to the patrons as farm animals. They all have troughs. If you play with them, if you ever go to a card room and you see a player, it's a very nice human being, successful in life, very considerate, communal, but also they have a little trough. Instead of like a tray for drinks or food, they just have a trough for feed and hay and whatever. You That's someone who supports my content. In this case, that was Dunder. He cold four bet in a straddle, maybe double straddle. You can double straddle. You can do any straddles as you want. But he put in a shit ton, and it was half his stack. He would have to call it off. It got through, and then he showed a six. And I could only, smile under my mask. So I have ace queen. It's a good hand. I opened a 60 because we're playing 5-5, 10-20. And Moose calls, and Garin, a.k.a. Alex Banana, goes to 220. Mr. I don't 3-bet 210s. And I just call because I don't have much more money. And I can't fold and I can't get it in. Ace-queen isn't, it's not, ace-king is a get-in. And ace-queen, I think, is a call here. It's probably a get-in if I have any money. But it's definitely not a fold. And I call and Moose calls. So we got 600, we have almost $700, and it comes 665. I have ace queen, and Alex Banana goes all in. I have to fold, and Moose folds, and he shows two jacks. So it was a flip. He won. It's a session to forget, and yet I'm documenting it, and it'll be available forever for patrons. So ironic. And unfortunately, this night Moose busted. And so he's off into the night, and we get a new player in his spot. And now I get pocket jacks. The hand I just, that Alex Mina just won a nice pot with. And I got a 150, so I don't remember. It must have been, what was it? Maybe I 3-bet Dunder. Very solid chance I 3-bet Dunder. And I had jacks, and it came 6-6-3, and I bet, and a 7 came, and I bet, and Dunder check raised me. 6-6-3, now 7. He's been bluffing a lot. He crushes life. He's awesome, and he's been bluffing a lot, but I still know, I know inside, if you're going to bet jacks on 6-6-3, and then on the 7, you get check raised, even if it is someone that has a trough next to him, you got to fold. And this is how pot control was invented, playing against players like this. And I don't fold. I call 6-6-3-7. The river is whatever, inconsequential. And he bets. And I call, and he has 5-4. So, yeah, I did lose. I did put in 150 preflop with jacks against 5-4. I'm in position. And I did have the best. But I got turned. I got outturned. And I do like bet folding here. And I bet called, and that's what you do when you're in a rut, when you're in the abyss. And I cashed in the main event, but leading up to that, just poker had been so awful for months. And first session back of live, now I'm actually playing terrible and not running very well in this hand, and overall just kind of running weird and kind of bad on this night. When I had ace queen against jacks, I could have flopped something there, and I would have got all the money. If it came queen high, I think I get paid by jacks, and it was three ways. And I had jacks here against 5-4, put a 150 pre. It's like, but I just knew when I got check raised on the turn to fold, and I didn't. And I'm down $1,500, and then I wrote fuck with a lot of U's, no C's, and 2 K's. Okay. And, so it's not about should I check this turn or not. It's in this mental state of complete exhaustion, tilt, in a rut, in the abyss. Yes, I should check it because I'm not going to make a good decision if I bet. Normally, if things are going well, you bet and then you make a tough decision. And so, things will tell you. His sizing, his timing, all that shit will tell you whether to fold or not. Well, no, you're just completely in the, in the abyss. I should have checked the turn, given that I'm just playing so horribly and my decision making is just off. And, it is just the story. And some of you are sick right now, and some of you are saying, well, it's just a story and I'll keep listening. Okay, and now Dunder opens, and I go to 100 with pocket sevens. He goes to 30. I have pocket sevens. I don't care anymore. Just fucking bust me so I go back to my hotel room and sleep and get up and work again. And the young Armenian kid, not Alex Benena, he's a young Armenian kid as well. This other guy, don't know his name. So he's a young Armenian guy. And he calls. So we're three ways and it's fucking set watch. I flop a set. Just when I cannot take it anymore, I flop a set. It comes 7-4-3, all diamonds. And they check to me. There's 300 in the pot. I fire off 200. I have 700 behind. And I, it's all diamonds. And the young Armenian dude calls. And now Dunder raises small. And when he raises small and he's close to me, I know he has a flush. I also know I don't give a shit. I know you got a flush. I need to flop the flush against my set. I don't give a shit. I have 700 behind. I'm all in. And now the young Armenian dude, who I didn't know if he's a pro or not, just was a really nice guy. He said, I know you from, I don't know if he knew me from this podcast or from commentating or both, whatever. It was cool. He was enjoying the company. He was very social. He thinks and he puts Dunder on the naked ace of diamonds and shoves for a fucking trillion. And him and Dunder have a trillion each. And I don't know how he got a trillion, but he did. And he shoved and Dunder snapped it off. I believe Dunder had ace eight of diamonds. And this kid had two nines with a nine of diamonds. And that's a big mistake. That's a really pretty big mistake. You have a slight overpair and a diamond, and you just are going to put the other guy on as check raising the naked ace of diamonds. I don't know. I knew Dunder had the flush, and I didn't care. And anyways, we're all, it's a, you know, my pot is what? It's like a 3K pot, and then they're playing for a bunch on the side, and the board pairs. Beautiful. Just like that. Total fucking bailout. And Dunder wins the side pot. And so Dunder wins money in the hand and I win. I get a triple up. Just an old fashioned do nothing but flop a good hand and don't care what they have and put it in and triple up. And it's a funny game, poker. So now I'm back to evenish or maybe winning a little bit. And it's just fucking weird. It's just, I didn't do anything. I mean, it's a cooler flop, of course. You 3-bet, and you flop top set, and the guy you 3-bet flopped a flush, and the other guy's overpair with a diamond with a flush draw, and whatever. I was happy to win this pot. And probably I wanted to start talking, but I know better than that. If you haven't been able to talk because you're just so in your own head, and you're feeling sorry for yourself, and you're just confused and all the things that come with being in the abyss. Well, then when you bink that big pot, do not start yapping about this and that. Well, at least if you're a fucking pro, a long time pro, you shouldn't. And so I don't. I'll slowly start talking again. So what do we got here? Now, Garin, that's Alex Benena, opens to 25. So we're just playing 5-5-10 this hand. He opens to 25. Dunder calls. And I get a 110 with King 9 of spades. It's a good hand. And, you know, Alex Benena opens wide. Dunder calls super wide. Well, Alex Benena goes to 320. And Dunder folds. And I have to fold the King 9 suited. And Alex Benena shows two queens. So just one of those. Don't need to 3-bet, but definitely could 3-bet. It's not a bad spot for 3-bet, and then run into the 4-bet and fold. And now, here's a really weird hand. Alex Benena puts on the 40. So this hand is 5, 5, 10, 20, 40. So it's pretty good. And the young Armenian dude opens to 200, and now he just stacked off a ton to Dunder. And myself, he, you know, lost 1,000 to me and then maybe 1,500 or whatever to Dunder. I don't know the exact amounts. I was on fumes. But he opens the 200. I have king-queen offsuit. And I think I should just make it like 360 and get in against him. Because he has 700 to start the hand. And that's not even 20 big blinds. And in this game, King Queen offsuit is fantastic. And I decided to just flat. It's just so bad. It's just, I just got unstuck. I'm poor. But man, I'm a good poker player. I'm just not playing like one at all. And I just flat. Of course, I could flop something. Or there's a chance if he has ace high and he doesn't flop anything, he'll check fold. Maybe. I don't know. But the flop came 7-6-5 and he went all in. And I folded. Just a bad hand, right? Called 200, king queen offsuit. I mean, it's not actually the end of the world. It seemed like it that night, but everything did. And I wrote, that's a broken, tired play, not to mention hungry. And I just was, this is, you know, the opposite of Tommy Angelo, the way I went into this session and the way I played. But it's okay. It's not going to matter in the end, but it's just, we'll get through it. Ace deuce of diamonds. I called $30. So it's just 5-5-10. Seven ways. So a bunch of farm animals in there. I have a trough next to me too, especially on this night. They brought me a lot of hay and feed. And ace deuce of diamonds, seven ways. And we flopped. On this one, we flopped. And obviously, that's fine. It would have been nice to flop a flush or something. Or a flush draw. Or, you know, whatever you flop there sometimes. But it speaks, me noting it, and I do note when I flop, when I'm going to need help in the review from my friend Sinead or from the spirit of Whitney Houston. It speaks to just how fucking desperate I am to run hot after running cold. And when I'm in this chair and I'm podcasting or even when I'm working on my notes, I know that's fucking ridiculous. It's variance has no memory and it has no plan. And it just, it's all random. But if you've run bad for a long time, and I'm not just talking about I've run poorly for 5 years. I definitely have run in the bottom quadrant of variance for 5 years. And of course, 25% of the poker players are going to. But I'm talking about the downswing before the main event, losing all those sessions. And it just, you just need one really clean session, really fucking, you're the chosen one. If you've watched some streams, it's Garrett often where he just makes, he plays great, but he also makes hand against hand against hand, like over and over. And it's just, there's momentum and then the weight's gone, the monkey's off your back. And then you start playing well and you keep cooling people. And it's happened for Ludacris on that show. It's happened for that kid Zio. You just really feel like I need one of those to start playing like me again. And you're just not promised one ever. You'll probably get one if you keep playing. You're not promised one ever. But you do chase it mentally. At least I do. And not away from the table. I know it's a joke, right? And I know how fucking entitled it sounds when I complain about shit. But I'm just telling you what I'm feeling at the table as someone who's played too long, depended on it too long, swung too much, and just has lived this life, this grind, for a little too long, where it needs to change and it's going to change. So I'm just trying to relay that, because most of the content you're going to get in poker's, it's not going to, I don't think it's going to tell an accurate story of making this shit your career, your life. I think mine does. But anyways, where were we? Oh, the 40's on and Dunder opens and I 3-bet with ace jack and he makes it 100. I have to fold. I'm losing again and I'm down like $300 or whatever. And now I'm committed to playing well. And now that I'm going to play well, this is another thing. Just sometimes there's a switch that goes, oh, okay, stop being a fucking baby and start. But now it just seems so slow and you're not going to get any hands. And I don't know. It's just David wins a fat pot. I don't know who it was against, but he won a fat pot. And he now he opens to 40. So I think this is a 5-5-10 hand. And Dunder calls, and I have ace-jack of diamonds in the blinds, and I make it 160 with ace-jack of diamonds. Good hand. They both call. It comes 10-6-5 all black, and you know what? I don't think I flop nothing. I don't think about that at all. I just think the way I normally think, where I think, well, if they didn't flop a good 10 here, it's going to be hard to call this bet on the flop. Because if I bet a lot, I bet 300. And it's going to be hard to continue with almost anything that with their ranges. And that's how I play poker when I actually play poker, when I'm not throwing my head up my ass and I'm in the abyss and I'm fucking, you know, singing what's going on in my head. So it's not a, it's a debatable play to, you know, there's 480 in there, you fire 300. It's just strong though. And like, what, you flop two pair or set, you had 6-5 or pocket fives or sixes, okay, you're gonna get some money. If you didn't, you're gonna have a hard time continuing. And they both folded. I don't know. So I have queen jack and I call on the button. And it comes 9XX. And Dunder has a weak bet. So I just call. I'm just gonna call his weak bet and well, now, guess who's in the game? Guess who joined our game from the 5-5 game? Doug Polk. If you watch the stream, there's a Brazilian guy. Brazilian reg at the Hustler. He plays pretty well. He plays well. And he's a nice guy. And he's new pro for sure. And when he came on the... He filled in for, I think, Liberal Chick when she left the show with like an hour or two left of stream. And this guy sat down, this Brazilian pro with a hat on, and people said, who's that? And I said, it's Doug Polk. And they said, no, it's not. And then I said, no, it's Doug Polk, not Polk. And I was just being stupid, and that's what I specialize in. And anyways, he's in my game now. And I said, nice guy, plays well, can't stand him. And I said that over and over. And you're a grizzled vet. You don't want some nice guy who plays well in your game? Nah. So he check raises here, and we fold, and he shows pocket nines. So he just flopped top set. Just got in the game, flops top set. There's a guy named Nat in the game. And I go way back with this guy, and he remembers me with a mask on. That makes me feel kind of good. He's older than I am. He's quite a bit older, and he's not used to all the blinds. It's 5-5-10, and the rest of us are doing 20, and he thinks he's been in the blind five hands in a row. He wants to call the floor. And he's just, you know, older and is losing his mind a little bit. And Doug Polk says, here, I'll put your blind in this time. And I like that. That's this kid understanding what to do as a poker professional. And then you'll see, I don't know, soon, an instance of him not understanding what you do as a poker professional, in my opinion. Anyways, we got, now we got a new lineup in. People have left. A lot of the farm animals have been wheeled off, and you've seen those things on the highway. You can attach them to a pickup truck, you know, like a big, strong pickup truck. If you've got a trailer hitch, it's a trailer, and you see like horses putting their, you know, noses up or whatever. Well, they wheeled off all the patrons in one of those. And now my vision for this game, the Hustler game, became a reality. It became, you know, it's probably 2, 3 a.m., whatever. And the game is the best game that I've seen in a long time. And yeah, there's a pro in there who gives a shit. But it's all these guys that have a ton of heart, love to gamble, and they all love this structure. And it's 5-5-10, but you can straddle and restraddle up to the button if you want. And people are loving it, and it's just a great fucking game, and maybe I'll book a win. So it's 5-5-10-20-40, and Doug Polk goes to 160. He opens kind of big in general, and I always thought it was about the rake. Well, at some point, if you're playing 5, 5, 10, 20, 40, and the rake's still $6 or $7, well, it's not that significant as much as it is when you're playing 5, 5 or 2, 5. Anyways, 5, 5, 10, 20, 40, Doug Polk opens to 160. This guy, I believe he's Armenian. He might be something else. I'm not the best at that shit. I just know he's always had a good vibe. I played with him at the Bellagio. I played with him in L.A. He calls, and I have pocket 10s. And I 3-bet to 500. I can't. Stacks are kind of whack for going too much bigger than that. And I think Doug Polk is going to open very wide. And I just want to, you know, I'm happy to take it down or get called by smaller pocket pairs or, you know, or just hands that I'm crushing. And Doug Polk folds. And this new, one of the new dudes in the game that I recognize calls. I think he's Armenian. He's probably late 30s, maybe early 40s. He calls and the flop, and this is a good spot. Now there's $1,200 in there. This is a game everyone can afford to play and someone can win 10K, no problem. And I pocket 10s and there's 1200 in the middle and it comes ace, queen, X. And we both check. And the turn's a king and we both check again. And the river is an X, and he checks, and I check again, and he turns over ace, four of hearts. So he's gambling. He called the 160 with ace, four of hearts. He called the 500 with ace, four of hearts. He outflopped pocket tens. Didn't win any more, but, you know, it would have been nice to win that 1,200. I didn't, so what? Now, the game's just, like, starting to, you know, get good. And now the button limps, and I'm in the small blind, and I raise with pocket queens. And I don't know how many straddles are on, but I go with, and one of the blinds and the button call. And it comes king, six, deuce. And I bet a third of the pot with queens. They shouldn't have that many kings in their range, but what the fuck does that matter? What they should or shouldn't have in there. It doesn't mean they don't got it. And anyways, so I squeeze with queens. And one of the blinds called and the button limper called. And it came king six deuce. I bet, and they both called. I wasn't sold that I was dead. And I thought there was a decent chance I had the best hand. Well, the turn's an ace, and now I check, and the first guy bets, and the next guy calls. And I got a fold. And it's time for my best play. I decided I was going to play better, and I just have been playing better at whatever hour this is, fucking 3, 4 a.m., whatever. And the game's juiced, and it's I have ace, queen, and I ISO a limper, and Doug Polk calls out of the blind. I try to ISO a limper, but Doug Polk's in there, and the limper's in there. And this guy's been shipping all in a lot, and this is another gentleman that showed up at 2 or 3 a.m., was ready to gamble, put any amount you want in. This reminded me of the old days of L.A., how I used to love it. And you go there, you have fun, and all the patrons are gone, and I kind of have my voice back. Not too much. I'm still fucking, I still haven't eaten, and I'm still just exhausted. But I just made a conscious decision to start playing better, and I'm feeling a little bit better. Obviously, that triple up with seven when I flopped top set helped greatly. Anyways, I tried to ISO with ace-queen. It didn't work. I got Doug Polk out of the blinds, and the guy who limped called. And it came ace-10-9. And they checked, and I bet a third of the pot in position, and they both called. Okay, ace, 10, 9. The turn's a great card. It's a small card, an X, and they checked, and now I sized up. And I bet like two-thirds pot, and Doug Polk folded. He probably had some draw. And the other guy called. And I knew when he called that he had, queen jack. So it's ace 10 9x. I just knew it, and I just by the quickness of his call, I knew it. And the river was a jack, and he checked, and now I bet like 1/10 of the pot, and he called with queen jack. And I just loved how I played the hand. I tried to isolate him. It didn't work. The pro called with something, and it came ace 10 9, and I bet a third in position, and they both called, and then the turn was a nice card, a brick. I sized up, and I only got, Doug Polk was drawing, but he's not he's not a gambler. He's a professional poker player, so he's going to fold when he doesn't have the right price and implied odds and all that. And the other guy's going to call no matter what. And that's what happened. And he rivered second pair, which could never beat anything. And I bet the pot was nice and bloated. And I bet small. And he called the exact hand I knew he had. And I just like when I play a hand, you know, when I play almost perfectly against the hand I'm up against, that means he had the hand I thought he had. Okay. And then I have pocket kings, and I open, I get two calls. I just open, I get two calls. It comes ace, king, X, two diamonds. So the second set I flopped, I felt like I hadn't flopped a set in a cash game in fucking months. And maybe that's true, maybe it's not, but it felt like it. And I flopped two on this night so far. And ace, king, X with two diamonds in this gambly game, that's fantastic when you got pocket kings. I bet half pot and they both folded. It's fine. But everyone's really enjoying this game. People are asking what, oh, it is 5-5-10. Okay, I get it. It's just like the 5-5 game with a straddle on. Oh, you can buy in 300 or 1500. Okay. And it's going to work. And I would love to make this like, you know, have four tables of this shit going every day up there. A game where anyone can play. You can actually win real money. And, you know, it'll bring people to this amazing casino that has lower rake than anywhere else in LA. And yeah, I don't know. So here's a really key hand. One of the players that played on stream from this night came back from a fun night. So they obviously played on stream, then they went and had fun. They came back. I'm not going to say who it was. This person's eyes were red and they were pretty giddy. They had some kind of really fun night and you know, good for them. Live your life. And so this one, this hand is only 5-5-10-20. And the cool Armenian dude that called 500 with ace 4 against my 10s and outflopped me, he goes to 45, just a really small sizing. And I call with 10-9 of clubs. And the player that played on stream is, you know, he was just playing bigger. He lost a bunch on this night. His eyes are, he makes it 285. And the Armenian player, not the young guy, a different guy that came in later, called, and I called. And so it's three ways. I'm in position with 10-9 of clubs, and there's $900 in the middle. And the flop comes Jack, X, X. And they check, and I just check. And the turn's a queen. And now the person with the red eyes bets 400. And the Armenian dude, not the young guy, but like the guy's just a little younger than me, calls. And I'm open-ended now. And what I didn't tell you about the queen is that it gave me a flush draw as well. So I'm now open-ended with a flush draw. We have $2,100 in the middle. This is how things get turned around in poker. It doesn't matter. You play like shit for 3 hours. Well, the game just got way bigger, and you've committed to playing better, and you're just going to, you just, if something goes your way, this is where things start to turn. This is a turning point. 2,100 in the middle, open and a straight draw and a flush draw, and you're likely to get paid too, given the person who came back from God knows where plays much bigger and is very well off, and the other guy has endless heart. And so Jack XX, turn queen of clubs, the perfect turn card. I have 10-9 of clubs, and there are two clubs out there. There's Jack Queen and 2,100 in the middle, and I'm going to get, this is going to be really nice if I bink, and it'll be okay if I don't. And the river is going to be revealed on Thursday in part two of week 46 of 50, back in LA, bonus session plus lead out. Peace. I hope you enjoyed this drop of sessions. If you are a patron, thank you. And if you're not a patron, well, I don't know what to tell you. Huh? Princess, I'm doing the outro. And that's a lot of stuff. Princess, I know, we're trying. Larger than life. I guess I'm gonna need some help then. Princess, I hope the listeners go to patreon.com/DGAF poker player. Cause otherwise.